Hello everyone, welcome to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your preview of Aston Villa. If you're wondering why I sound so depressed, it's because the past 48 hours, because by the time you've listened to this it will have probably been 48 hours, have kicked absolute lumps out of me with Chelsea Football Club. And Tom's pretty much the same, because we both hopped on and went, yeah, we don't really want to talk about this, but you know what? We've got to. If you want something fun and you want some element of consistency, which Chelsea can't offer you, this is actually, on our notes, the 50th episode of the Chelsea Echo this season. So that's not too bad. Half centenary. There are some decent players who have notched that many appearances for Chelsea. And hopefully someday we can notch the same amount of appearances with the podcast. Maybe the 700 odd that JT's done, but you know, we'll have to see. Let's get there as we go. But it's come tumbling down once again. Chelsea shipped 4 goals to Wolves. Second consecutive game we've lost with that amount of goals conceded. And it was not fun. One thing, though, we can say about the Wolves situation, and I know Tom's going to roll his eyes straight away as soon as I say it, there is one person who knows how to beat Wolves, and he's currently talking right now. And I just want to let you all know, I haven't been approached by Chelsea Football Club, and my focus is entirely on Upload United's upcoming fixture against the Wolves fan cast at Molineux in June. Very focused on making sure we retain that trophy and getting something which Chelsea probably won't. Again, a trophy. But yeah, apart from that, it's not a good place at the moment. Trip to Villa Park, another ominous performance from them. Absolutely trouncing Sheffield United. And yeah, FA Cup action. I'm normally quite excited. Tom, how are you?
Hi, mate. Yeah. You know what? It's just really sad, is that we're all starting to believe a little bit more that maybe things were starting to come. You know, it was only 2 games ago in the league that we were not that far away from sort of Brighton and United and all the Europa Leaguers, but now that's gone. I'm looking at it now. We've been overtaken by Wolves. We're back into the bottom half of the table. Oh, it's just a shambles. And you just look at the club and suddenly you're like, I'm potch out. I don't like most of these players. I don't like the board. I don't like the directors. What do I like at the back of the club at the moment? It's really just a grim place to be. Chelsea Twitter's horrible. I just read that we can't even afford to sack Pochettino because of FFP stuff. So we're just stuck in this horrible position where we're probably going to finish somewhere between 8th and 13th. Palmer will end up getting 15 goals, having a really good individual season, and everyone else will wonder why they bought. Well, they won't, because they don't care. They're taking home 300 grand a week. But yeah, just horrible.
I think that it boils down to, more than anything at the moment, culture. I really think it boils down to that, because the overall culture at Chelsea is what drives a force, and I think mentality. I was actually speaking to Cam earlier. So Cam's actually someone who works with the Echo, does stuff on social as well. I follow him, actually, at Blue on the Bounce on Twitter. Yeah, I just think the culture and the mentality, like Cam was saying, mentality is a big driver in competitive sport. And sticking people, like you and I said, you know, great for amortization, these contracts, right? But sticking someone on a 9-year contract, knowing full well that they've got the security, or in this case, they want to leave, but no one's going to want to pay off their contract. We are in a significantly bad situation. And it's a case of, when people are talking about the translation of, well, it works in the MLB, football is a completely different sport. The culture there is wrong. The tactics in terms of how we sign players are wrong. When I read earlier that they were going and talking about it, going, well, you know, the signings we made in the summer, we really thought this could help us challenge for Champions League. In what way, shape or form is that the case? Again, you and I said this on the pilot episode. The pilot, I went, not too sure. We're now 50 episodes in and it's a case of, we're going, well, what the hell do we do? How do we tackle this? And the culture is wrong in every single department. Talking to Pochettino, look, I don't think it's fair to completely just point the finger at him. And I think it's in a situation where, if you change the manager, I get there might be a slight bounce, depending on who it is. And I think there's only one person who could bring that bounce. That would be short-lived. But the overall situation is dire. But, you know, him being tactically inflexible, not making substitutions at the right time, completely just dumbfounding everybody by continuing to play Raheem Sterling, who I think for the first time in a long time, I was visibly perplexed yesterday to a lot of people. And I was, my head was hot. You know, it's hit the point with everything now. I was walking back with our friend Brandon, and I was just going, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. And I'm now just at the point where it's like, I just want to cry. Like, it is, how can they be so inept and not realise the problems they're causing? I don't get it at all.
I mean, I've been banging the drum about Sterling for a couple of months now. I've been fed up with him for a while. In a way, it's a little bit of a smug feeling when everyone else sees the light on him. But it's just... yeah, not good enough. I agree Poch is not entirely to blame, but I think I said it a couple of pods ago, he's not blameless either, and his insistence on playing Gallagher in when Gallagher's not playing well, and realistically, Gallagher's good for bringing energy onto the field, but as an actual football player, and technically, he's not particularly good, really, which is why I wasn't that fussed about selling him. Sterling's been playing a lot of football when he's been poor for at least a month, if not kind of up to 6 weeks. You know, he scored a nice free kick goal against Preston. He won a penalty the other day in the league, but in terms of actually going forward and taking on a man and doing things, he's been poor. But then Mudryk's been poor as well. Like, Madueke's been inconsistent, which is normal for Mudryk and Madueke. They're young players. They're still quite new to the Premier League. But for Sterling to be doing it, I think he's 29 now. He's been in the Premier League. He made his debut for Liverpool at 17. So he's been playing Premier League football for over a decade, and he's putting in performances like that. He's on the money he's on. It's actually disgusting, to be honest with you. I'm just so sick of him. I'm not putting the entire demise of Chelsea Football Club on Raheem Sterling. It's not, but just on the performance against Wolves yesterday. We're recording this on Monday, if you didn't know that already. Awful. But yeah, on Poch, I just don't see enough oomph from him. Energy, trying to change things. It's just sort of, oh, well, you know, this is how it is. Sorry, we lost again to Wolves. I get you're annoyed, but huh. It's like, well, yeah, but why? You don't understand. I mean, and he says he does understand. It's Chelsea, and you know, there's a culture, and you know, we had that awful season last year, and then we've come in this year, and it started, and it's sort of signs that maybe it was coming together. We've obviously got a lot of good players in that team, and that's what's so frustrating. That Caicedo is a lot better than he's playing at the moment. Enzo is better than he's playing at the moment. And then you go and see players like Hudson-Odoi at Forest score a nice goal, and you see Giroud thriving, and you're just like, all these players we've let go have gone on and done better things. So what is going on at Chelsea? There's something wrong in the water, in the culture at that club over the past 2-3 years, coincidentally when certain American took over the club, where everything just seems to go wrong. And I don't know what the solution is, because there's not just one solution. There's so many things that's wrong at that club at the moment, but it's just painful.
In fairness, though, you've mentioned things going wrong. Obviously, you mentioned the stat in the preview about the injuries. That predates...
that does.
The current ownership. Yeah. And that is another massive issue that Chelsea face. And I don't like using injuries as an excuse.
No.
Chelsea's first 11, I think, would be in a good situation. If we could keep a team fit, we would be seeing a side which I think would be contending for Europe. However, we haven't done that. So that's something else which we're looking at and we don't look at.
Even then, I think there's a naivety that we're not going to get injuries. And we went in and... yeah, Nicholas Jackson, yeah, he looked good in pre-season, but I think that was very naive and in a way a bit arrogant to think, yeah, he's ready to go a whole Premier League season just because of a few pre-season performances. Yes, they couldn't have foreseen Nkunku getting injured for basically the entire season, but they could have foreseen Reece James getting injured. And yeah, okay, we brought Gusto in, great. But I just think there's a lot of naivety, there's a lot of learning on the job from the very top of the club, which is filtering down to ineptitude. And it's just led to this position where I think a lot of fans, well, in fact, I don't think, I know a lot of fans have hit a wall and are just fed up with it. And it's gone on for, well, this season's another one now where we just want it to end. I know we've got a cup final in 3 weeks, but I don't know about you. I have absolutely zero confidence in that one at all. We've got, well, we're about to talk about it eventually, the FA Cup replay here. That's a chance to maybe do something, but Villa look pretty bloody good at Bramall Lane, so not very confident against them either. And then we're playing for sort of a top half finish, essentially. I mean, technically, we're not completely out of a European race, but, you know, United look pretty good at the moment. Brighton are better than us. West Ham are fine. Who else is there in that running? I don't know. Wolves are now ahead of
Newcastle,
us. Newcastle, Wolves. Obviously, have got a really nice run of games coming up and nothing else to worry about. So it's just a position where we're just so easy to play against. Teams are looking at Chelsea now, which teams are thinking, oh, I don't want to play Chelsea. Like, they've got, you know, at the moment, if you're coming to Chelsea, you're playing Chelsea, you're thinking, well, they've got Cole Palmer, he's good. Let's mark him. And then Nkunku could play well a bit. And other than that, you're like, oh, I don't really worry about Sterling. I don't need to worry about the wingers. Like, put a bit of pressure on their defenders and they'll just, you know, make a mistake. I don't think Petric is at fault at all, but he's a great, you know, he's a learning goalkeeper. He's not anything particularly special, I would say, at the moment. And I feel a bit sorry for him to have picked the ball out with back of his net 8 times in 3 days. But that's just, as I say, there's no intensity. The one game we always talk about is that Man City game. And I think that was the definition of a false dawn where we were like, you know what? These guys are good. Like, here we go. This is what Poch is good at. He's got these players playing. And then we've just not seen that again. You know, and that was the game. Stamford Bridge was rocking. And I was like, yeah, we've got the club back. Fair play. And it's just, it's been so many little false dawns here and there, and now I look at it and I'm like, well, we're in February, we're 11th, we're actually worse off than we were last year under Graham Potter in terms of points per game or whatever the stat is. I think it is, yeah, we've got fewer points.
1 point less.
Yeah, there you go.
1 point less.
Yeah, we're here again in exactly the same position as last year when everyone was calling for Potter's head. And so, you know, I think that's why the energy is going to Poch, I'm afraid, and I don't have a solution for who's come in, but we'll... something's got to happen.
I mean, I posted it on Twitter yesterday, and look, football hipsters will not like it, and people will say it's passion merchantism, it's revisionism, but guess what? I think right now some revisionism is needed at this club to remind people of what it was and what it built itself up to. In no way, shape or form will I ever be like an Arsenal fan or a Liverpool fan over the past 25 years, demanding and saying we deserve somewhere to be. You don't deserve to be anywhere. Those players right now don't deserve to be anywhere near Champions League, anywhere near Europa League, anywhere near Europa Conference League. But they need someone who knows what it takes to do that. And I think with that, there is literally one combination which would work for 6 months. But my God, just give me Gat for 6 months. Bring him in on an interim. I'd love to see Jose just for 6 months, just 6 months. And if it just have someone who could actually put a bit of life in that team. I do think, like, at this point, right, if you're a good manager, let's talk of Hansi Flick, for example, you know, as a great coach, he's done well at Bayern, obviously. But again, it does feel very much like it's not quite a hipster signing, but it's a signing which as a manager, which would be like, well, you know, he's been good at Bayern, he's done this, he's done that. Right now, I want a proven track record in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And people might say, Mourinho was washed. He's not quite there anymore. Jose Mourinho, right? The reason that he didn't do well at Roma this season was, I think they spent in total, I think, 11 million on their budget for loan players and free signings. They didn't sign a single permanent player this year. A single one. And if you look at what he did in his first season and then the following season, you know, it was a penalty kick away from winning the Europa League with Roma. You know, I appreciate that there's a toxicity and people say Mourinho's not quite there anymore. Guess what? Mourinho said what he said about Manchester United. He was right. He said what he said about Chelsea. He was right. He said what he said about Roma and what he could do, right? I understand why people say you're going backwards doing that. So I get it, all right? He's not who he used to be. But he's a coach who's actually shown that he can adapt with the times relatively. I've seen him play in a back three at Roma. You know, I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm going, he's playing a back three. Guess what? Poch refused to do it, despite that's what that we were saying for the past two games in our previews when we did our 11. Player three, player three, player three. This is what we have, player three. Refusing to do it. And there's all this shite, I think is the only way I can put it, when people talk about, you know, the tactical breakdowns on Twitter. If you show any real football coach that, no one fucking listens. The most important thing is a pitch is split into 5 vertical lines. This is just a basic coaching thing, by the way. You should always have 2 players in those 5 lines. There you go. There's your answer. That's what you should be looking at, and if you want to split up a pitch for players. But no, we're going to talk about the progressive triangular dominations, and it's all fuck off. Like, shut up. You know, just get some football in basics. This is it. Just get some fucking football in basics down. Mikhailo Mudryk, when he came on, I know I'm clutching at straws, but guess what? We had Sterling playing on the left in the first half, barely doing anything. I saw Enzo Fernandez run past him three times. And he was just, you know, jogging along, doing his little T-Rex arm, like, I'd argue it was just a fast walk. And then Mudryk came on, and guess what? One, he got an assist from a corner, because he actually crossed the corner incorrectly, which was amazing to see. Oh, my God. And then he actually tried.
Yeah, which is, like, which is the bare minimum.
Tried.
That's all we want. That's why we love Werner. That's why Werner became so popular. That's why Pedro, in his first season, he wasn't great in his first year, and that was the year he came 10th. But he tried. He sprints around. He runs around like he cares, and he wants to be there. And that is all we want. Obviously, if you're absolutely terrible, you're going to get some flack, and you're probably going to not, you know, you're not going to be at Chelsea long like Werner. But all I want is energy, and just the bare minimum is running about, and that's what Mudryk does, which is why I'd always start him. And I don't want to see Sterling play again. I'm fed up with him. It's been going on for far too long. He came in as sort of this, that was the statement signing of the start of the Bowley era, and I thought, yeah, you know what, Sterling's been good. But then when you think about it, he's been good around good players, experienced players, and world class, you know, De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Mahrez, David Silva over the years, who just put the ball on a plate for him and he's running at the back post and tapped it in. Yeah, he scored a couple of excellent goals, of course he has, but he's come into Chelsea to be that guy, and he's not that guy. He's a player who thrives in a good team as a kind of a bit part player in a way, although he did play a lot in the City teams of yesteryear, but he's not the guy for us. I'm fed up with him. I know a lot of fans are. I don't normally like booing a player. I actually only ever booed one player before, and that was Ziyech before, for the same reason. Just gives the ball away and then can't be asked to run back. Sterling got booed yesterday, and I was happy about that. And I know people don't... Well, you probably don't agree. I think you're one of the people who doesn't like booing players. Fair enough. But I'm just fed up with this attitude that runs through the squad.
I mean, I agree to a certain extent that I don't like booing players, but I did catch myself telling him to get off the pitch and hurry up so Mudryk could actually get on. I was livid.
Onto Mourinho or even Conte, who's also available at the moment. I just want someone with a Chelsea identity. We haven't got anywhere in the club. The only real Chelsea identity of note really is, I guess, sort of Reece James, Conor Gallagher to a degree. But even they didn't experience the proper year. Yes, okay, they went and won the Champions League, obviously. But I want someone who comes in and really inspires these people as to what they're playing for. The badge on their chest. You know, the history of that stadium, what we've experienced. Yeah, okay, in our lifetime, the past 20 years, and people will say, oh, plastic fans. Fine, go beyond that. There's so much history of this football club, and these guys don't get it. And why would they get it?
This is the blueprint.
Well, exactly. Listen to the blueprint for that in a lot more of a better analysis than me. Say, yeah, but there's more beyond 20 years as well. But I don't want to... I could rant about this for hours, but I just... infuriates me, and that's why I'm all on board the Jose train. Why not get him in 6 months? We've got none to lose. We're not going to.
Are you genuinely on that train now? Is that what we're on? Yeah,
he's there. Come in. We've got none to lose. If it doesn't work out, doesn't work out. We're not going to get relegated. That's not a problem. If he ends up coming in and having a shocker, and we end up finishing 14th, what's the difference between 14th and 10th? Our four places. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Why not give it a go? Also, cup final, Jose. Make up for that one where he was sacked for Ryan Mason at Spurs, turn up and play and try and win that. I don't know. I just think it would be quite fun. And also it would get the fans pumping again, having Jose back. And, you know, he's passionate, unlike this sort of flaccid man on the sideline that we have at the moment.
Well, there's another big issue with that, by the way, as well. that probably won't happen, because when Stanley and Stewart, with all their fantastic scouting ability and their fantastic negotiation skills. Apparently, if we sack Poch, we'll be in trouble with FFP.
Yeah, 10 mil.
So if he goes, right, if he goes, I want those two going out the door with him.
Well, they should be the first out the door.
I'm sorry, it's this transfer dream team has run Chelsea Football Club into the ground. We're very fortunate, right, with the women's side, that they're still doing well. Do you know why they're doing well? Because they were left to their own devices to do what they needed to do. They were said, you guys know what you're doing, do it. Why did they not look at a similar strategy with the men's team? There's a massive lack of cultural nous within this team at the top. I really hope Daniel Finkelstein steps up to the plate here. I really do. Because he is one of us. and I'm sure he's hurting as much as we are. And he needs to put his foot down more.
Yep.
He needs to say, you're doing this wrong. This is not how this club operates. Like you said, if you listen to the blueprint, Ken Bates was building Chelsea towards Champions League glory in 2012. Chelsea, before Roman, by the way, were nearly winning league titles. They were there, thereabouts. And then guess what? We were very lucky and we got to go to where we were. And myself and Tom and so many other people have been so fortunate to grow up watching those teams, which shows, you know, I appreciate that Chelsea wasn't always that, yet no club was always that. But when you build yourself up to the point, you don't want to fall away from it. You don't want to do that. So, you know, they need to build it up again and need to do it right. And questions need to be asked of every single person within that management pyramid, because it trickles down from the top.
It does. I mean, it's a frustrating thing as well, because people talk about the Premier League becoming a one-team league, you know, like Ligue 1 and stuff with the City, but it's not. The reason they are that is because they get it right. They sign the right players. They go, oh, what do we need? Oh, we'll sign a quality striker. Let's get Haaland in. Done. And we've spent over $1 billion and we've signed nothing. There are very few players in there that are worthy of it. United have spent their money terribly as well. That's the problem. But yeah, we've spoken about this for 22 minutes. I suppose we should speak about this really important game against Aston Villa.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what happens. But I tell you what, before we do get into the Villa game, let's have a little bit of an uplift, right? You've put a question. I'll let you ask it this week because you've obviously been away, so it kind of clearly stems from that. So what is it you want to ask me?
Well, I thought, based on last week's question, which we enjoyed talking about, which animal we could fight, because obviously we played Wolves, I thought I'd ask a question, and it was obviously Aston Villa. So I could either ask a question about Aston, I don't know anything about it, or I could ask a question about Villa. So I thought, oh, okay, fine, let's play this game. If you could buy a Villa anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
Oh, you! I've told you this before. Mine's not even—it's not quite a Villa, though. What I want to do, but it falls into the bracket, right? So, my family in the village where sort of everyone's from, I think it was my great aunt had a watermill, beautiful building, and basically, you know, she obviously passed away. My great aunt passed away. It's like for 25 years it's kind of been derelict, and my dad nearly bought it or was going to try and buy it and do it up, but when he looked into how much it costed it up, he kind of was like, no, not doing that, because it would cost too much money. If I had all the money in the world and I could afford to do it, I'd buy that watermill in the Italian hills in Emilia Romagna, and I'd basically build that back up to be my home away from home, because the water mill would have where the water trickles down, that's where the car park would be. So whenever you drive out with your car, you're basically coming out of the Batcave. That's kind of my mentality there. But that's why it'd basically be a villa, because it's like, it's beautiful. It's like literally about 25 minutes from Maranello. So you can go down there. I've got Parmesan on tap. I've got balsamic vinegar on tap, pasta. I can go see my other great aunt, Pasquina, who's a legend, and she can make me some unbelievable escalope, or I can have the rabbit. All the pictures I showed you when we were in Milan. Oh, mate, I'm 10 minutes from there. Poor, that's exactly where I'd be.
Nice.
Is that allowed? Is it not technically a villa?
Yeah, the only reason it's Villa is obviously it's Aston Villa. Really, I meant just like if you could buy it somewhere, anywhere in the world, but that doesn't work for the name game.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I don't know. Mine doesn't have as much cultural meaning as yours does. I've got a lot of link with France, but I kind of feel like if I were to buy anywhere in the world, it wouldn't be in France, because it's close enough to here that I could go there anyway. I don't know, really. I don't know why I asked this question with no answer in my mind. I have a longing desire, and this is going to work really, really well for our Australian listeners, who obviously apparently we're in their top 100. But I've had a longing desire to go to Australia. Obviously haven't been, and I don't know where is nice in Australia, so I'll probably sound really ignorant here, but I would love to have like a nice villa somewhere on the coast in Australia. I don't know if I'd want to be remote or near a city or even in a city, I just love Australian people, and I look at Australia and I'm like, oh, amazing. I've got to go, and I think I will be going in the nearish future. But yeah, probably there or somewhere in Europe would be nice, to be fair. Like, yeah, on the Riviera somewhere, or in France.
Sorry, hang on. You've just gone, I probably wouldn't buy somewhere in France. Well, and we've gone and circled all the way back to, yeah, I'm going to buy somewhere in France.
I thought I might as well come in with, I'd buy a villa somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know anything about Australia too. Oh, at least let's talk about something I do know a bit about. But yeah, I just, somewhere not in England, somewhere warm would be nice.
Where would you buy your villa? Somewhere warm and not in England. Thanks, Tom. That narrows it down. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, it's fair play.
That's why I asked the question and didn't answer it.
But that's why I'd say, if you want to go in Australia, go to Melbourne. I think that's my favourite city anyway when I went there.
I've heard Sydney's nice. I've heard Sydney's quite, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's like the Australian equivalent of LA, is what I've heard.
Kind of. It's a little bit more finance bro-y, I'd say. Fair. So it's more, I'd say some part of, I mean, when I went to Sydney, it felt, it's like basically think Canary Wharf and the Square Mile, but bigger. That's probably how I'd kind of say it, with a few nice restaurants and some niceties about it. But I mean, yeah, Melbourne's the place where I had the most fun. I enjoyed Melbourne the most.
If any Australian listeners have any tips, feel free to let me know, and I'll come visit you, and we can chat Chelsea, or not, because we don't want to right now. Anyway,
exactly. Anyway, we'll move swiftly on. Exactly.
And yes,
we'll get on with it, Tom. It's that time. Let's just try and be relatively upbeat about it, ladies and gentlemen. The only good thing about this right now is the theme tune. It's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yeah. Hi, guys. It's Stat Shaggers. This week, it's quite short. In fact, it's very short because we played Aston Villa about 3 minutes ago, and finding new stats is quite hard. So I went here and looked at, realistically, our record at Villa Park recently, because that was something that I haven't done. And actually, here's a bit of an upbeat thing. We've actually won our last two games at Villa Park. 3-1 on Boxing Day in 2021. And 2-0 in October 2022. But obviously those games are quite a long way away. And in fact, in October 22, when we won those, won that game, Mason Mount scored both the goals. He's obviously long gone, so he won't be recreating that. But in fact, since the last time we visited Villa in the FA Cup, which was in 2010, we've played them 11 times away from home. And we've won 7 of those. So that's pretty good. Drawn 2. Lost 2. Pretty good record, considering Villa Park has, even when they've not been as good, been a bit of a fortress. As I say, a bit of hope. Our record is strong against Villa away from home. And on to Villa themselves. Obviously, we did only play them like 2 weeks ago, so there's not much that's changed. But we've had gone from being hopeful to falling off a cliff, and now everyone wants nothing to do with the club. Villa drew 0-0 against Chelsea, obviously. Then they had a poor game, lost 3-1 at home to Newcastle, which was their first loss in a little while. Well, since United, but they went on a run. And then they absolutely destroyed Sheffield United. Obviously 4-0 at half-time, some excellent goals in there. 5-0 in the 47th minute, which has to be one of the rarer goals. When you see a dominant half, you don't often see them come out and immediately do it again. And I thought at that point we were about to see some history, because they had 40 minutes. And I thought, you know what, some of those 9-0 Southampton had are under a bit of pressure here. Maybe we'll get 10-0. No, we didn't. They didn't score again. But they dominated anyway, and they're back into the top four in style, as obviously Spurs slipped to a 2-0 defeat at Everton. So, yeah, they're cruising. They're looking good. They're feeling good. They're back at home. I know they did lose at home recently to Newcastle, but they don't tend to lose many games there. Chelsea, on the other hand, obviously not in a very good place. Pretty poor away form, and a manager that, well, I said he may or may not be there when I wrote the script yesterday. I think it's unlikely now that he won't be there come Wednesday night, as it's now 7:45, so it's pretty much exactly 48 hours before kickoff. He'll be there, but will he be there in spirit? Anyway, that's that. Back to you in the studio.
Will he be there in spirit? I like how you said the fact that a draw at Everton right now is a defeat. I like that. That was a lot of fun. As Spurs slipped to a 2-2 defeat.
Did I say that? No. Well, yeah. I'm just so used to losing at the moment that it just comes out. Sorry. A 2-2 draw. actually, that was quite a good game of football. That's one thing at the moment. I'm not enjoying my football when I watch Chelsea, but from a neutral, there's been some really good football being played at the moment, and my FPL's going well, so at least there's that. But yes, on to the Echo 11, I suppose.
Yeah, I gave up on mine. It is what it is, I guess. But yeah, it's the situation's just dire. I mean, look, Poch apparently, according to reports, is actually considering switching to a back three. So I guess we were semi-right yet again.
We were right, mate. Ball.
Mate, it's. I've been saying it for weeks. I've been saying it before we're doing it. Listen, Benevente ball. Let me cook. Get me James Ward-Prowse in the summer. I will cook.
The jury's out on that one. But the thing is, when we're in this position now, it's just make us harder to beat at least. And then when we start at least getting a few points and a few wins, then some confidence can build. You know, when Antonio Conte did the three, he obviously played one of the best three. He brought the three to England, essentially, and he's revolutionised the game in a way in doing that. But he played a three initially because we were struggling. So he thought, right, how do I make us harder to beat? Let's play a three. We went on a little bit of a run, and suddenly, turns out, Victor Moses and Marcus Alonso, unbelievable wing-backs. Love to see it. Is that genius? Maybe. Is that quite lucky that they just happen to work? Yes. Try a three. And also, you look at our squad now and you're like, well, Chilwell and James, obviously, if they're fit, if they're ever fit at the same time again, who knows? Excellent at wing back. Gusto will be good there. We've got centre backs who aren't confident. Let's play three of them and then suddenly they can help each other out a bit more. We've got midfielders, but we're not really sure how many of them we like. Do we really want Gallagher starting as many games? Probably not. Oh, let's have Caicedo and Enzo. They've got a bit more space. And then a front three, fine. Or a front two. Well, actually, don't play two. We don't have enough number nines for that.
Front three. I mean, look, I'm going to go 3-4-3. I'm going to go the Conte classic, right?
I'm all over it.
I'm going to go through my 11, and you feel free to stop me at any point, right? We've got Jordi Petri dish in goal.
Yeah.
Back three, I'm going for Thiago in the middle. Not so he gets quite on the left again, because that was heartbreaking to watch when Pedro Neto just turned him inside out. So, we'll put him in the middle of that three. Left-hand side, if he's fit, I don't think he will be. It'll be Levi Colwill. So in this situation, probably going to be Benoit Badiashile on the left, which, you know, is shocking. Shivers. But, you know, it is what it is. And on the right-hand side, it's going to be your favourite centre-back, Axel Disasi.
Shivers further.
Yeah, no. So that's the three, which does not fill me with confidence, but you know, is what it is. On the left-hand side, Ben Chilwell, who's proven he's a fantastic wing-back, maybe not such a great left-back. Right side, Malo Gusto. Enzo Caicedo double fit, because as you said, other than that, not sure. Cole Palmer on the right, Jackson down the middle, and Nkunku on the left.
I don't mind it, but I'd almost go and Nkunku through the middle and play Mudryk. Just a bit more pace in the team. Thing about the three that was so good under Conte, and I know it's not going to be the same now because we don't have the same calibre of player, but was the counter-attacks. I'm looking at that City away game when we blew them away. That's one of my favourite, if not my favourite Chelsea game of all time, when we just blew them away with Willian and Hazard and Diogo Costa on the counter and they could not deal with it. And I'm thinking, you know what? If we're going to play this three, let's do it properly. Let's have some pace on the wings. Palmer, good player, obviously. He's not known for his pace. He's not slow, but he's not rapid. Mudryk is known for his pace. And I think if he can get in behind people, like, there is a player there. He just needs a bit of confidence and he needs to play more. So let's play him. Jackson, I don't mind him, but I think I'm not sure about. I think he has the limitations. And Nkunku just needs to play more, but let's not overuse him. So bring Jackson on at the 60-minute mark.
All right. Yeah, let's do that then. Let's do that. Switch him over. So that's the Chelsea Echo 11. Probably not going to be that. It's probably going to be Raheem Sterling playing on the left.
Centre back or something.
Yeah. He'll play Caicedo at centre back and do whatever it is to be stupid. I mean, yeah. Oh, apparently that was a good idea. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter. I was like, that's enough internet. I was like, that is enough internet for the day. I can't be arsed.
Through where I used to play is a youth level.
Yeah.
Played up front, apparently, under sixes or something. Like, oh, great. Okay, let's bring that back then.
Yeah. What's the famous thing they say about fullbacks? They're usually failed wingers. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone has to start somewhere and works their way into where they should be. Unless you're me, who yeah. just never does.
He's working his way there slowly, which is the bench.
Well, I mean, having said all of that, I think it goes without saying that the next two games and, yeah, I mean, the last two especially, but this one especially is going to be a must win. I don't even think we need to say about that. You know, only Palmer and Nkunku seem to be offering us some form of hope. And, you know, with the season being over, it does feel like cups could be the only way to go. So, considering we're not getting anywhere in the league, do we just pile in for the cup? Do we have something to... Give me something,
yeah.
Tom. Give me something to cling on to.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, you've seen it before in cups. Because it's not the league, it's something a bit different. I mean, I'm thinking here, Wigan 2013, the prime example of that, obviously got relegated the week after they won the FA Cup. Like, you can... It's different competition. You can just go, right, just got to win. Like, let's just go out and win. Whereas in the league, there's a bit more pressure on relegation. And I don't know why, but that's sometimes it happens in cups. Magic of the cup, I guess. So, yeah, why not? Let's just go out and just give it a go. Like, I don't know what Team Villa are going to play. They're playing a lot of football at the moment. And realistically for them, their priority order will go, let's get Champions League. Then let's win Europe. The Conference League, which realistically they'll be right up there, you would have thought. And then it's probably, oh, well, then FA Cup. And whereas ours probably the direct opposite of that, obviously with no Europe, because we're nowhere near that. So yeah, let's do it. Let's just go and win it. Let's win it all. Two cups in our worst ever season. Only Chelsea could do that.
I mean, with the team playing fluid football, hopefully our three at the back that Chelsea Echo have picked can do something against Ollie Watkins, this Buendia, whoever it is, just
it's not Buendia, stop. He's out. But
I mean,
ACL all season. Yeah. But it's, I mean, Leon Bailey looks really sharp. Yeah. Scored a nice goal. Watkins is obviously playing incredibly well. Like Diaby came on off the bench and looked like the Diaby of the start of the season. They have a lot of pace. They're very direct. Their wing backs are very good, and they often play a three as well. Alex Moreno, excellent. They're a good team. They've got good centre backs, a good goalkeeper. A really good midfield. They're just a really good team, and they've built it up properly. And to be honest, I don't think we're going to win.
I'm very settled on that. I do think it's going to be like a absolute drubbing.
Is now we've had back-to-back drubbings. If we have another one here, then surely we're seeing a corner flag on our Twitter on Thursday morning. And then we've got Palace. Or maybe they hold on for Palace because that's a massive... I mean, Palace are probably going to have a corner flag soon anyway. Steve Parish apparently wants to get rid of Hodgson but can't find a suitable replacement, so hasn't done it yet. They're in serious trouble looking at the table and looking at Luton's form and the fact that Luton play Sheffield United next, who look down and out. So it's getting a bit tight down there for Palace. They're going to be up for it if they have a new manager, which I think they might do by then. It's all a bit depressing that we're talking about this, but we've had a few of these joke El Shiticos this season. I think Chelsea Palace on form is probably the one.
Yeah, I like the way when I said, oh, I might have a couple of spares for that. Does anyone want to go?
No replies.
The group chat just went, yeah. No.
Everyone was like, last year, I am not when we had, who was it? It was Brentford, wasn't it?
Brentford, that was it, yeah.
The night of Arsenal City. I was offered a ticket by three different people and I said no, I didn't want to go. Why do I want to go and see that when I could see the title decider and see what I knew was going to happen, which was City absolutely feasting, and they did, and it was fun. Unlike Chelsea losing 2-0 at home to Brentford, so yeah it's one of those. We had it before, obviously we had a couple of poor seasons. We had that one under Mourinho where we were 16th when he got sacked. And that was just like a, haha, oh well, we won the league last year, we'll be back. And then the year after, we won the league again. This is now back-to-back. And the league, I know some people say it's not very strong, but in terms of the league is strong. Every team is good, apart from probably two. So if you're not on it, well, like we're not, from top to bottom, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's where we're at. And that's why it's worrying, because there's no like, oh, well, next year we'll be back in the mix, which was what we were all saying at the end of last season. And now you're looking at it like, I don't think we are.
I mean, you were all saying that. You were all saying that. I wasn't. So, you're talking about the smugness of Sterling. I'm a little bit smug because, you know, I was there going, this, something ain't right. Something's not smelling right here, boys. And everyone was like, no, no, Louis, I think you're just being over dramatic. Louis again, gear. He's over egging it again, gear.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. We're in exactly the same place. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just like, it is what it is. The last question you put, obviously, is there any reason to be positive? The answer is no. I don't know if you could tell by this podcast. We both want to kill ourselves. I've got a nice Dewlit toaster to drop in the bath. I think Tom's got a nice Russell and Hobbs. So, you know, if you don't hear from us in the voice note review. Your toaster broke. Was it when Jack tried to drop it in the bath after the game yesterday?
No, it broke. This is a classic lads living in a house. Our toaster broke like a month ago and we had a power cut because the toaster just... And so then we were like, oh, and we were all about to go out. This was before Christmas. It's so long. And then we just never bought a new toaster. So we'd just been grilling our toaster in the oven because we're too lazy to buy a new toaster.
Like 20 quid, just get one on Amazon.
Well, I said, should we get a new one? And we were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then just no one did it. And now we're just we're in this position. But you know what? Yes, I'm depressed about Chelsea. But other than that, life's all right. You know, it's not like Chelsea's not everything. Or is it? No, it's not.
Yay! We're shit!
Yeah. Anyway, this has been the most depressing thing you've listened to. 42 minutes of us just moaning. But maybe it's what you needed. Therapy's good. This is, you know, kind of living through us vicariously of basically this is our therapy. I feel better now about the club, having moaned about it and having listened to Louis moan. It's better.
Always look on the bright side of life. This has been the Chelsea Echo. Follow us on the socials, you know, at the Chelsea Echo. You add an underscore if you're on Instagram. Engage with the Echo and tell your nan. Always look on the bright side of life. I made this up. See you later. Bye.
That is genuinely the most impressed I've ever been with you in my entire life. but yeah, see you later, guys.